Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Yasir Qadhi welcoming you to the MuslimMatters.org podcast. For more quality media, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. Wa jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. We're here with Sheikh Yasir Qadhi to ask him some questions about beards. Inshallah, Sheikh Yasir, if you can just go ahead and start out briefly discussing the importance of the beard in Islam, and then we'll jump into some more detailed questions.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First, we begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salat and salam upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The question of the beard is always one that causes me a little bit of uncomfortableness, simply because this issue has become a trademark that is used by those who wish to dismiss scholarship and dismiss ulama and imams, because they claim that, look at these guys, they have their priorities completely messed up, all they can think about is the beard when the ummah is suffering through so much crisis. And so this issue has become a mocking point that is used to dismiss the entire credibility of ulama and imams when they're writing books about beard and giving khutbas about the beard and declaring Muslims to be evil Muslims because of not having a beard, etc., etc. And in fact, there is an element that I completely agree with this criticism, and there's an element where I disagree with it, and that is why I find it to be awkward and difficult. There is no doubt that the beard is an important aspect of following the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, but in the world that we live in, there are far more important priorities. And so that is why I would never, I cannot foresee myself giving an entire khutbah about the beard, or, you know, standing up in front of a public Muslim audience and just advising them. The first thing that I advise them is to grow a beard, simply because there are far more pressing concerns. Having said that, that doesn't mean that the beard is a trivial issue, and therefore it does deserve some discussion. And so I'm not averse to talking about issues regarding the beard. I just hope that those who are listening are those who have reached a level where, alhamdulillah, they're praying five times a day. You know, they have some relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and now they're exploring higher issues. Also, while we talk about these issues, this does not mean that we're neglecting, you know, political crises that the ummah is facing. We're neglecting, you know, the wars and the battles going on in the world. Rather, it's the problem arises with the mentality of either this or that. Either we concentrate on those issues or we concentrate on these ones. And I think we need to have a healthy balance of all issues, following the sunnah in our personal daily lives, and also seeing what we can do to help the ummah at a national and international level. And as the Arabic statement goes, لِكُلِّ مَقَامٍ مَقَادٍ, for every situation there is the proper thing to be said. Therefore, as I begin these series of questions about the issue of growing the beard and grooming it and the sunnah requirements of it, I just want to keep this point in mind that it is an important topic, but it is not the most important topic facing the ummah, and it needs to be prioritized according to its proper priority. With this introduction, if you have any specific questions...
So what would be the appropriate time to introduce someone to this issue, or that someone should take this issue as one of importance? At what stage in their Islamic development should they become concerned with these rulings?
I think that the one who is studying Islam will automatically himself come to a time where this issue is one that will basically become one that they're thinking about all the time. I think that a person who begins his religiosity will not and should not be approached with this one issue. Rather, they should be approached with basic knowledge, with what is Islam, what is Iman, what is Tawheed, how do we worship Allah, why do we worship Allah, emphasize the prayers, emphasize the Quran, emphasize spirituality, emphasize the world vision of Islam. These are far more important questions. And I personally, in my own interactions, when I'm, you know, meeting with Muslims over and over again, I never go out of my way to emphasize the issue of the beard. Once I get to know somebody whom I've known for a while and he doesn't have a beard, I might jokingly remark, you know, something about, oh, inshallah, you know, next time I see you, you'll have, you know, some beard or something like that. Just a joking remark in passing that will make him think. I don't sit him down and give him a huge lecture. I just don't think that's appropriate, and I think it turns many people off. Who have been raised in the Western environment, I think it turns people off to be so blunt about an issue that they believe to be trivial. And I think that to introduce it in that manner, in a blunt manner, is not wise. Rather, it should be done in a indirect manner. And inshallah, slowly but surely, I mean, I've never really had any problems. Once a person reaches a level of Iman and religiosity where they want to follow the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, one of the most obvious manifestations of that is the beard. And so I've never really had any problem. Build a spirituality and the beard will come automatically.
Is it appropriate to equate the hijab with the beard in this respect?
Not at all. Not at all. This is definitely not correct, because the evidences for the hijab are Quranic, and there is no explicit Quranic evidence for the beard. The hijab has been the symbol of Islam for women, you know, centuries over, and there is no serious controversy about the hijab. Believe it or not, there are some ulama who say that the beard is, as we all know, not fard, and this is something that you find. So the controversy over the beard has been around much longer than that of the hijab. There is really no controversy over the hijab. So to equate the beard and the hijab and to say they're at the same level is definitely not correct. Not every wajib is at the same level, and the evidences differ from issue to issue. So the evidences for the hijab are far more explicit, far more Quranic, far more overpowering than the evidences for the beard, even though I think both of them are fard.
Can you briefly discuss the minimum requirements of the beard, the definition, and the rulings regarding the trimming it?
Well, I'm thinking about adding this to my... this is an unabashed plug here for my class, but I think of adding this to the fiqh of food and clothing class that I'm going to be teaching soon for al-Maghrib, and a lot more detail, inshallah. But in a nutshell, the vast majority of our scholars have claimed that growing a beard is obligatory. All four madhabs, the Hanafi, Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanbalis, have claimed it is obligatory. Even Ibn Hazm of the Zahiri Madhab. In fact, Ibn Hazm said that there is ijma', and many of the scholars of the past said there's unanimous consensus. There is no known difference of opinion. And they said that, but there is some difference of opinion, which means that when somebody says there's ijma', and then you find a difference of opinion, that at least the least it'll tell you is that, well, 99.999% of the ummah felt that the beard is obligatory. Hence, the evidences were so overpowering and so many that the vast majority of scholars of our traditions held that the beard is something that men should grow. Now, the point is, though, you're not going to find many books of fiqh dedicating long pages to the discussion of the beard for a very simple reason. And that is that growing a beard was a simple sign of manliness for all Islamic civilizations and cultures throughout the 14 centuries of the Ummah. Therefore, the issue never arose. People never trimmed or shaved their beard. It was not, when I say trimmed, I mean like all the way down to like 1 millimeter. It was not done. It was a sign of your manhood that you grow a nice full beard. You will find here and there small discussions of how long the beard should be grown. But even these are not, you're not going to find pages and pages in our fiqh book, because it was not an issue of controversy. Only recently, with the advent of westernization in the last 150-200 years or so, this is when the issue of shaving the beard has become fashionable. Otherwise, even in Western culture, the beard was a sign of manliness. And if you look at, you know, paintings and drawings done of most of the classical, you know, thinkers, and even in the Western culture, they had beards. It was a sign of who you were as a man. So the phenomenon of shaving beards is a recent phenomenon, and that is why it has generated a lot more controversy, a lot more scholarship, a lot more writings have been done. With regards to the minimum and maximum, in fact, there are over 7 or 8 opinions on the issue. And you find, you know, some ulama, very few in the classical period, and it's become very common in our period, to claim that you cannot touch the beard at all. Let it grow even if it goes down to the floor. And this is something that, you do not find any of the classical ulama that I have researched, and Allah knows best who said this. But this is an opinion that has been popularized by certain scholars, and they say you cannot touch the beard at all. On the other hand, on the other extreme, you have people who say it is obligatory that you must trim the beard after a certain length, and they usually say after one fistful. And in the middle, there are 4 or 5 positions. How can it be in the middle? Well, some say it is mustahab to trim, some say it's mustahab not to trim, some say you're allowed to trim below the fist length. Some say you can trim from the sides and not from the bottom, etc. There's many different opinions out there. Looking at all of them and their evidences, one thing is quite clear. The Prophet ﷺ commanded growing the beard. This has been reported in over 5 or 6 traditions, most of which are in Bukhari and Muslim, in Musnad ibn Ahmad, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi. The Prophet ﷺ said, "A'fu al-liha, waffiru al-liha," keep on growing the beard, don't cut it, don't shave it, don't trim it. When he said trim it, the word that is used, don't pluck it, not trimming. He said, don't pluck it. So when he said, don't pluck the beard and let it grow, this is quite clear that this is an obligation, that we must follow it. It has been reported by at least 3 of the Sahaba and at least 10 of the Tabi'un that they used to trim their beards. Some of them after a fistful, some of them only during Hajj and Umrah, but over 10 of the early scholars of Islam used to trim their beards to some fashion. And this shows us that they understood from the command of the Prophet ﷺ that the prohibition is not to trim, but the prohibition is to not have a beard. So they understood that if you trim it after a fistful, if you trim it after a length, this does not contradict the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ to grow the beard. Growing the beard means you grow it. It doesn't mean you're not allowed to touch it at all. It means you have something called a beard. So the fact that these early Sahaba and Tabi'un trimmed to a certain level, some later scholars would then say, okay, since they trimmed only to a fistful, this is the minimum requirement. But the question arises here, now hold on a sec. If the Sahaba or Tabi'un only trimmed to a fistful, does that make it a legal ruling in our religion? Some would say, yes, it does. And that is a position of many ulama. I do not agree with this basic usuli principle. And I would say the fact that the Sahaba or the Tabi'un trimmed to a fistful shows us, the maximum that it shows us is that this is a good length and it is a mustahab length to have. To claim that a person is sinful for trimming less, more than a fistful, if you like, I mean, having a beard less than a fistful, to claim a person is disobeying Allah and His Messenger, I think that's very, very harsh statement to derive from this, from the actions of the Sahaba and Tabi'un. I think that the most that can be derived is that the beard has an optimal length, and that optimal length is a fistful. But if somebody trims lesser than a fistful, when I say lesser, is difficult. What do I mean by lesser and more? If somebody has a beard that is of a smaller length than a fistful, I do not think that such a person is sinful at all. He has not disobeyed Allah and His Messenger. You might say it is makruh. You might. If somebody said this, I would see where they're coming from. And it could even be argued it is mubah and not makruh. So the question is, what is the bare minimum? Well, the bare minimum for this needs to be looked at linguistically. What is a lihya? And the majority position of the linguists and the grammarians is that a lihya, the Arabic word for a beard, is that which grows on the cheeks and the chin. There is one very strange opinion, minority opinion, that a beard is only that which grows on the chin. So we find some of the modern du'at and scholars shave everything except what grows on the chin, and they say this is a bare minimum of a lihya. And they have some evidence because they have some linguistic grammarians that support it. But the majority position, which has been held by the majority of linguists, including Ibn al-Athir, including Ibn Mundur, including Al-Fayruzabadi, and others, I'll have to look up some more names, but the majority position has been that the beard is that which grows on the cheeks and the chin. Therefore, if a person has facial hair that constitutes a beard, when you look at it, you think this is a beard, then I think that a person has met the bare minimum obligation and they are not sinful for it. I do not think the Sharia has a minimum in terms of centimeters, in terms of, I think this is going a little bit too, we're getting a little bit too, specific.
Well, what about the, what's very common now where it's just like a thin line that goes down the draw line?
The draw line, this, if somebody looks at it, I really don't think this is called a beard, even in the English language. I mean, I think this is a facial hair that no shaving for 2 days. I mean, I think a reasonable amount of hair, and here's the point now, who defines what is reasonable? I don't have a precise definition. I mean, when you see a beard, you know what it is. It's not, you cannot, nobody takes a measuring tape and measures how long the hairs are and how wide it is. I think that's a bit too precise. But what you're talking about, that pencil line, which is less than, 1 millimeter, and, the hair is literally just not shaved for 2 days, that doesn't quite constitute a beard, because it's not the full cheeks, it's not the full cheekbones and the full chin that a person has hair on in any case. So to shave the hair of the upper cheeks and the hair beneath the chin on the throat, this is pretty much unanimous consensus allowed. I mean, there's hardly any difference. To shave the hair that's below the eyebrows, for example, below the eyes, right, really high up on the cheek, upper cheekbone, and to just shave the hair on the throat, this does not constitute the beard, because that's not the beard, that's other facial hair. But to shave more and more down to the cheek, to just get that pencil line, as you said, I think that that is problematic, and it doesn't do justice to the beard. So I would say, if a person uses your average trimmer that is found in the supermarkets, right, and they trim to a reasonable length, and they shave and they have a fashionable beard, if you like, and that's very common amongst Muslims, I would say they have done the minimum. They are not sinful, but it is mustahab and it is encouraged to grow it longer. And I would say the optimum amount should be to have a fistful, because that is what the Sahaba did. I would say it is definitely mustahab to have that long of a beard, and Allah knows best.
Sheikh, one of the questions that we had, and you mentioned that as a sign of manhood, what about brothers that can't grow facial hair? Should they feel less manly, or should... Because it is taken in many respects as a sign of manhood versus imitating women, so how do people that can't actually grow that facial hair fall into that?
The same can apply when a person is bald. Does not a bald person feel, facially challenged? I mean, do they not feel that they have been deprived? Follically challenged, yeah. You know, do they not feel that they have been deprived? And this is human nature. Once upon a time, when men, all men had beards, those who couldn't grow them, they really felt challenged. And it is narrated by a number of scholars of the past who did not have beards because they couldn't grow them. I'm trying to think of names. I think Shuraih was one of them. He said, I would give 10,000 dinars. That's like a fortune, gold coins. That's a gold coin. That's like $500,000 in our times, more than. I would give 10,000 dinars if I were able to grow a beard. You know, I mean, you could see now people now are spending $10,000 in their lifetime probably to shave their beards off, you know. But I mean, in those days, he felt deprived and he felt a loss of manliness. But obviously, it's human nature that when you have something, I mean, anybody who's like, you know, somebody who has crooked teeth, I mean, I have slightly crooked teeth, you know, it's like you feel, I don't have that. You just accept it and say, alhamdulillah, no big deal, you know. Some people are bald and they feel that they don't have that hair. It's not a problem in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you can't do it, you can't do it. But it's human nature. There's no doubt that you will feel a sense of deprivation when you don't have what other people have.
Regarding trimming again, and this goes back to the first point that you mentioned about where it falls in priorities. What about if your parents don't want you to grow a beard or to have a trimmed beard? And then also, by extension, if someone's job requires them to either shave their beard or trim their beard.
So if your parents want you to trim your beard, there should be no issue at all. Obeying the parents is wajib, and trimming the beard is mubah, in my opinion. So you must listen to your parents and trim the beard if you're living with them and they have that much right over you. Once you become independent, you should have the right to negotiate with them in a billatihi ahsan, in good manners. But when you're a 15-year-old kid, 17-year-old kid living in your parents' house, it is much better to avoid controversy. Problem comes when they force you to shave it. And I would say try your best not to continue to. But if they're really adamant and they're really downright, uncompromising, I would say may Allah forgive you for the time being. And maybe try to, you know, have that pencil beard for the time being or something, you know, it's darura. But I mean, you know, don't, we really, our teenagers need to understand that the phase that they're going through is temporary. It's only a few years, as we all know, before you become independent and move out. And when you do move out, you want to leave your parents with good memories. You don't want to cause their hearts harm. You don't want to bring, you know, bad fights into the house. You know, you're still young. You're 17, 18, whatever age you are. A time will come when you will be independent. You'll be on your own. You can do as you please. Don't raise all hell, as they say. Don't cause so much fitna in your family. And the issue of the beard, as I said, is not similar to that of the hijab. I would not say that with regards to the hijab, unless the parents were literally getting physical about it. You know, I mean, and I've heard of stories where that has happened, which of course, there's clearly tarura there. So the beard is not to that level. If you can try to convince your parents, and most parents, if you keep a reasonably well-groomed beard, really, I can't see them, you know, putting their foot down to that. So I would say that shouldn't be a problem. With regards to the job issue, I would say that such a job, if they have a legitimate reason, you should continue to look for another job and continue to work there in the meantime.
Okay, Sheikh Asr, it's anyone that's seen some pictures of you that are floating around on the internet has seen the long-bearded Sheikh Asr and the present Sheikh Asr. So the question arises as to what is your methodology in terms of how you trim your beard, how you groom it, condition it, how do you take care of it? What tips can you offer to the other Muslim brothers to keep a nice-looking beard?
Are you serious about that question? You want to learn about my personal grooming tips for the beard?
What brand of conditioner do you use? How often do you shampoo it?
I have been asked that question quite explicitly in a class that I gave somewhere where I got a written question saying, your hair looks really nice today. Can you please tell me what brand of conditioner you use? And I thought it was a practical joke. I hope it was. Well, obviously, for those of you who've seen the before and after pictures, obviously, alhamdulillah, in Medina had a much larger beard, and I obviously was, I think that was the right thing to do at the time. It doesn't make sense. Why should you not have a fistful beard when you're in that environment? But in the environment that I'm in now, I don't see the need really to make that point. And Allah knows if I want to maybe able to do that later on in the future. But I don't see, as I said, I don't see any problem in trimming the beard to a reasonable length and having something called a beard. As for grooming tips, I think brothers should not become sisters. I think brothers should keep this in mind that they a sign of manliness is not to go overboard. Yes, look good and look, alhamdulillah, you know, neat and dignified, but don't go overboard and you know, trying to find every single you know, latest grooming products for your beard. And to be honest, I have not experimented too much at all because I just don't have it in me to go around to beauty salons and ask around, you know, about how to the tips for grooming your beard. But because I live in so many hotels when I travel around, I get to experience a lot of products, conditioning products. You know, it just so happens that as you travel around, there are different shampoos that are offered, and so I have a good excuse for having sampled a large array of hair grooming products. And
what are your favorites?
My favorites is what Crabbe and Evelyn, La Source.
Crabtree and Evelyn?
Yeah, Crabtree and Evelyn, yeah. That one, to me, it works the best.
The one from the Hilton downtown?
Exactly, yeah. You remember as well. So you have experienced as well. Okay. But I mean, to be honest, I mean, the shampoos that are available that, you know, Marif always brings, the, you know. Yeah, so out of all of them, Pantene is the one that generally works best for my beard. And again, I have to admit, this is not my own searching, and it just so happens whatever is available, I try the various ones. But I mean, subhanAllah, as I said, brothers should not be too much involved about what type of brand of, you know, conditioner they use. And fi kullin khair, inshallah, it's probably good in all of them.
Do you trim your own beard? Have you ever gone to anyone that shaped it up for you?
Oh man, don't remind me of that, subhanAllah. When I was getting married, when I was 21 years old, I was this hardcore Medina student, you know, with a beard, very unruly, you know, very wavy beard, hardcore guy at the time, obviously, everybody goes through that stage. And so my mother, in her mercy, really wanted to do something for me, you know, she's like, you're getting married, that beard is just not presentable, and you need to do something about it. And so, you know, she took me, I know this is so embarrassing, I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, she took me to a woman's salon, okay, that her friend owned. Okay, so that's my, she's like, she owned, her friend owned it. And, you know, I walked in with my shawar kameez. You know,
so it was one of those manicure, pedicure salons
yeah,
on the street.
Exactly. No, it wasn't one of those ones. It was one of those upper class fancy ones. I was like, Ya Allah, please forgive me. I'm doing this for my mother. You know, I don't want to. She's like, she's adamant that I have to do something about my beard. It's like, you know, I'm going to take you to my friend and, you know, she'll see what she can do. I mean, not, you know, she'll tell me what products to use and everything like that. Not that I'm going to sit down in the chair and, you know, have that machine on my beard or something like that. You know? Have the curlers. No. That was not the plan, even back then. The plan was some advice and hints. So she took me there, and I was like this 21-year-old guy walking with a shawar kameez and this really scraggly beard. I think I frightened a few customers there. You know? And, you know, she sat down and she's like, you know, we've never really dealt with beards before. It's like, yeah, I figure this is a woman's salon. I hope you haven't dealt with beards before. So I even forgot so many years ago, but she gave me some products or something to try out. And I think I did try them out before. I think that's the only one time you really have an excuse, you know, to go.
What about men's salons? I mean, although we don't have experience with these, with our beards either.
Exactly. I don't know. I really don't think I'd ever do that. I think it's going a bit too far to spend so much time or concern. I mean, subhanAllah, I mean, just cut it or trim it or whatever you want to do. And it is part of the sunnah, I think, to have a dignified beard, which means that I do think that a beard should be kept dignified, whether it's a fistful or whether it's however much it is. Hair that's going everywhere, it doesn't make sense. There's authentic hadith where the Prophet saw, you know, a man with extremely unkempt hair. And he said, you know, couldn't you basically, you know, take care of that hair when Allah has blessed you with it? You know, wording to that effect, where the Prophet did not like this unkempt hair. And being unkempt is relative. And in our times, to have a dignified appearance is different than how it was, you know, 14 centuries ago in Arabia. And so I think that it is important that Muslim men, and also Muslim sisters in their own way, they give the image of being neat and professional. And that doesn't mean that, you know, you have to compromise the Sharia. You can have a very neat and professional full-length beard. and you can have a neat and professional trim beard. It can be done. And that is my main point, is that Muslims need to give a positive image of who they are and make sure that they do take care of their appearance and outer looks and be dignified in the way that they interact. And how they trim it and who gets it, all of this is really besides the point, but make sure not too much time is spent doing it, because I think that is not a masculine trait that we should aim for. You know, to be so obsessed with how one looks is something that it is overlooked to a certain extent in women, and that's something that even Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions in the Quran, أَوَمَنْ يُنَشَأُ فِي الْحِلْيَةِ, the one who has been raised in ornaments. Allah describes women as being raised in ornaments, and that's something that is feminine in nature, and it's something that's fine, and something that's encouraged to a certain extent within the family and within the married life. But for men, they have to have an element of you know, neatness and having and looking good, but not take it to an extreme.
What about dyeing it? Because we hear narration from the Sunnah that the Prophet used henna or some other types of materials to dye the beard.
It is Sunnah to dye the beard when it is excessively gray. And it is mustahab to actually dye it in those cases. And it is makruh to dye it in black unless there's a reason to do so. You should not dye it in black. It's makruh to do so. So it is Sunnah to dye it when there is an excessive amount of gray. When there is no excessive amount of gray, then it goes back to a general mubah. If you want to, you may. If you don't want to, you don't have to. That's not something that is needs to be done. But the Prophet occasionally dyed it with henna. And it was a practice that he would occasionally do.
Is the sunnah to dye, or is the sunnah the actual use of the henna itself?
When you use henna, it is a dyeing.
But I mean, if you used, let's say, an off-the-shelf product at the store to dye your beard, would that accomplish the same objective in terms of dyeing the beard? Would it still accomplish that sunnah, or does it have to be henna?
Yes, it would. Just like brushing teeth in our times does take the place of the miswak, even though the miswak has benefits that brushing teeth doesn't. But it does do the point. And the point is that if you have an excessive amount of white or gray, then it is sunnah to dye it to a different color.